This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome to all our listeners in the U.S. and around the world. This is the Italian-American Podcast. Just kidding. This is Baseball Outside the Box, and I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. But you are, as our audience in the U.S. around the world, you're going to wonder, why is there another Italian on the show? Well, I keep telling you, Italian-Americans make great coaches, great managers, great people. That's not the only group, but Italians do a very good job. And yes, this is Baseball Outside the Box, the show that interviews baseball's coach, best coaching minds who love to challenge the status quo. And we have a great one for you today. The 2018 NJCAA National Champion and an ABCA NJCAA National Coach of the Year. 2018 National Champions, 510 wins in college baseball. And get this, I don't know if he has any more fingers left, but he's got three World Series rings from the Schaumburg Boomers. That is the independent professional team in the Frontier League. So you add that with the college baseball. Man, we got a guy with a lot of experience. And not to mention, he started off as a player at Oakton Community College. Then he went to Georgia. And he was also the bullpen catcher for the Chicago Cubs. And then from there, worked his way up all the way to the head coach of Oakton Community College. Let's welcome a great Italian, the head coach, Billy Fratto. How you doing, Billy?
Good, Pete. Thanks for having me today.
You kidding? We are thrilled. And I was, I always tease our audience about the Italian American. We got great coaches, managers of all ethnic groups. The Italians, I think, just make a great one because of, their passion for family and all that stuff. And by the way, a little espresso shot for the Italian show. All the time. Always started. So how you doing, man? Everything good?
Very nice. Everything's great. Thank you.
All right. Listen, let's start it off for our audience. If you're on Facebook Live, don't worry. Ask questions. Type them at the bottom of the comments section. Let's just start it off with, because it's the most common thing. It's everybody knows the coronavirus is here and the players are at home, parents, everybody's at home, the coaches. What are you doing with your players right now when it comes to communication, keeping them mentally, maybe physically prepared, because, the college world season might start, it might not, but they also have other programs they play in the summer. So what are you doing with them right now currently?
Well, Pete, it's been a crazy year, as you know. And before we even start, I just want to thank all those people on the front line, the workers, the doctors, the nurses. I mean, they're just doing a great job out there. And it's just a crazy time, something we've never experienced. But before we start, I just want to thank all those people for putting in the time to get us on the right track. And before long, hopefully we'll all be together and sports will come back and so forth. With the season being canceled this year, it was kind of hard because we really worked hard with the kids from the fall ball through the winter conditioning, lifting. And then we were just about ready to start our season. We did start our season. We played two games at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. And then we were going to travel to Orlando, Clearwater area for our spring trip. That never took off. Basically, everything was shut down. So the team never made it down there. It was kind of devastating for the kids because of all the time they put in. So myself and the coaches, got on the phone and started talking to them to make sure they were okay. A lot of them were devastated. The sophomores didn't know how to approach this, considering that they want to go on and better themselves at other colleges. So our job as coaches was, one, just checking on the kids, making sure that they're healthy, their mind is right, and then just letting them know that we're there for them to anything we can do as a coaching staff to help them, we will during this time. There isn't really much going on right now. Basically, we can't be with them working out or anything like that. But we are giving them some type of workouts that they can do at their house with the very limited things that they can do at their house. Naturally, a lot of the kids are being creative, but they know that before long this is all going to be over, and they all want to try to get ready for when play does resume. So they're doing a good job, but we're constantly talking to them. We're reaching out to them almost every week, Pete.
Excellent. Bill, listen, we're going to give a little shout out to our great friend, Mike Pinto, and also I can say both of our mentors. He was a mentor for both of us, helped us in a lot of ways. We're going to talk about Mike in the episode. But before we do that, I want to ask you your concern. What's your main concern with your players being right now, and doing things on their own? And all of a sudden, let's say the season does start, and understanding that there's going to be a week or two maybe of some kind of workout. What's your major concern for your kids? And I obviously for all kids, what would be the major concern getting back on the field and fairly quickly?
Well, as you know, our spring season's definitely canceled. So, we're keeping our fingers crossed if we do start up in the fall, which would be September. A lot of them are getting the itch to play summer ball, which we don't know where that's going to go. But our main concern basically is making sure they don't jump into it too quick. So the pitchers, if they're playing long toss, or I don't even know how they're doing it, if they're with their brother or whoever, just trying to keep in shape. When we do get back, they're going to have to take it slow. We don't want them to rush into things where they're hurting themselves. Once again, everybody's in this together. So there's going to be enough time for us to try to get things together.
And so if you're on Facebook Live, you can ask questions to Coach Frato at the bottom of the comment section. Keep in mind, we're going to get into his story, and it's all about learning how to be a great coach, great manager, great person, how to develop a program, the culture, all that. We're going to get into that, and also college baseball, the recruiting, what coach looks for. So hang tight, because there's going to be some great stuff. Coach Frato, I think one of the things to get into right away is, your story is pretty interesting, where you started and then where you ended up, obviously, at Oakton Community College. Take us through what it took, because I think sometimes we think, we don't see the behind the scenes things that happens when you get into coaching. And a lot of young coaches are going to get into coaching and then not understand what they're really getting into. And I think you have to understand what you're getting into at times. So take us through a little bit of what you had to go through to become a head coach at the college level. And then we'll talk about building the culture and all that with, building a championship team.
Well, basically, my background, I played at Oakton and then I went to the University of Georgia. While I was at Georgia, I played for Steve Weber. He was a head coach there. And Dan Radisson, who has major league experience, was the assistant coach when I was at Georgia. I really loved the game, just like all of us do, and I tried to pick up a lot of things from people that I've been surrounded in the game with. And I kind of made notes thinking that when baseball's over myself playing-wise that I wanted to be a head coach. I would just wanted to remember some of the things from some of the people that I learned, how to bring that all together for when I do get a program. So when my career was over at Georgia, I basically got hurt, tore an ulnar nerve in my arm. So I got hired by the Chicago Cubs and went to work for them and did some things with them, started throwing batting practice. And then I wound up catching in the bullpen. I was working with Johnny Oates there, and Jim Fry was the manager. Dallas Green was the GM. So once again, I was around pro players, and I was basically always asking them questions on how to go about communicating with their players and what makes them good coaches and so forth. I kind of tried to store all of this in my mind. And then when I finally got the opportunity to coach at Oakton, I was working for Mike Pinto, who's my best friend. And to be honest with you, he's one of those guys that I definitely absorbed everything I could from. He had such success at the college level, and the success he's having in independent baseball, being the winningest manager in Frontier League history. He's just, he's the guy that I tried to learn so much from, as well as those other coaches that I was surrounded with. So when I did get the chance to coach at Oakton, I tried to put everything together. I looked at all my notes and I figured out this is what I need to do to get the program where I needed it to be.
You know, you mentioned Coach Pinto. He's obviously listening. He's on the show live on Facebook. Folks, you got to listen to Coach Pinto. Go back. He actually was one of the first individuals on my podcast at baseballoutsidethebox.com, but obviously we're going to have him on the show here. Listen, during that time period, you had to be an assistant coach. Let's talk about a little bit about the role of an assistant coach, how important it is, what kind of, you have to stay within certain parameters. And, so that way, because most guys are going to start off, or gals are going to start off as an assistant, and a lot of times don't know what really that means.
Being an assistant coach, basically what you want to do, Pete, is one, you're going to have to show loyalty to who you're working for, most importantly. You basically question them how they want things, what they want you to do. You never really try to outstep your bounds, basically. You stay in that zone of things that he would like you to do to help him make his program stronger. So an assistant coach, a good assistant coach, he basically works hands-on with the players, and he's given daily drills that the head coach might want and so forth. And then he basically reports to the head coach and just reviews of what he saw during that day. If it's working with the infielders or outfielders, so forth, letting them know who's working hard, who might need a little more work and so forth. So, to be honest with you, you talk about success in the game. I mean, the assistant coaches are so important. And even at the higher levels, the head coaches are really important, but without the assistant coaches, they're really nothing. And I truly believe that. Here at Oakton, I've been fortunate to have, assistant coaches that without them, there's no way that I would have accomplished what I have in the game of baseball. If I can mention those guys, John Granach is my assistant head coach. He played with the Philadelphia Phillies. He's just an outstanding baseball guy. Mick Scala played at TCU. He works with me. Scott Firth, another minor leaguer, played professional baseball. He's currently with the Chicago Dogs. He's my pitching coach. Mike Puglisi. And then a guy that was with me last year, and he wound up taking a Division I job now, is Ryan Tuntlin. And his goal is to get into professional baseball as an assistant coach. All these guys are so important to me because without them, once again, we're not going to accomplish what we have. I mean, each of them have a skill. If it's working with infielders or catchers or pitchers or whatever it may be, we all come together as one, and we have one goal in mind, and that's one, to win, and two, to help the kids develop, and three, making sure that our kids move on to other programs.
Absolutely. It's interesting, and I'm going to laugh a little bit here, but Mickey Scala, Pugliese, you got Frado, you got Caliendo. We could almost start the Sopranos here right now, live on Facebook. But all kidding aside, what's the toughest thing about being a junior college coach?
I don't know if it's the toughest thing is that you only have the kids there for 2 years. If it's 1 or 2 years, you don't have them like for 4 years like you would at a big university. So you're constantly recruiting. You're constantly, you're basically doing things differently that a four-year school would. I mean, you have a short period of time. You got to develop them quicker. That brings into recruiting. When you're recruiting, you got to make sure you're bringing in some polished kids that you don't have 4 years to train a guy, if you know what I mean, Pete. So. Mm-hmm. I would say that's the biggest challenge, is you have a limited time with each player.
Absolutely, because I've read your bio. You've had a lot of guys in professional baseball. You've got a ton in college baseball. You actually work really hard in trying to get your guys, at the next level. So if you only have them a couple years, it's not easy to develop them. But since we're talking about that, what about? Hey, let's get right into that. And we can, again, people in the audience know that I tend to go into certain areas when I hear a question, and I'll change the subject a little bit. But, one of the things is, the type of players that you look for specifically in junior college, and why you look for those type of players, whether it be off the field things or skill wise?
Well, here at Oakton, I mean, we're looking for athletes. So if you're athletic, we feel we can make you a baseball player. We look for guys that have passion for the game, basically the same as what our coaches bring to the field every day. We definitely have to have passion. We want the kids that are quality kids on and off the field. And we also want, the special kids that you don't really have to get on them to work hard. We want the kid that wants it as bad as we want it. So that's what we look for, the right kid to fit into this program that will want to move on, and want to get better. Those are the kids we look for.
Let's talk about Billy Fratto goes to and I know recruiting's kind of changed a little bit throughout the years. Now it's, there's a lot of national showcases, local showcases. It's not necessarily going to a particular game. But when Coach Fratto goes there, what are you looking for in that player? I know you probably have an idea that you're going to see certain players. What turns you off possibly when you're looking at certain players in a game or in practice? What turns you off in something that they may have done and you're going to say, well, you know what, that's not really my type of player?
Yeah, I mean, basically, if you're watching a summer league game and you're recruiting, you're looking for that one kid that's constantly hustling on and off the field. It could be before the inning even starts. If you see a kid running out to his position, I mean, you know the player that's given everything he can to get noticed. One thing that turns us off is if we see a player and he seems to be, and always fighting himself, an angry person, throwing his bat, whatever it may be. Those are the type of guys basically we would cross off our list because, I mean, I preach to my guys, especially once you're in Oakton's program, is that you want to conduct yourself on and off the field the right way. And I tell them, I said, you're here for one reason, and that's to be seen, because Oakton does a good job of moving our guys on to other levels. And I tell them, when coaches are in the stands, you never know when they're there. You have to conduct yourself on an 0-for-4 day like a 4-for-4 day. You got to be the same person. So we basically start preaching to that in the fall to them, that, conduct yourself the right way on the field. But once again, we're just looking for the kid that works hard, is always hustling. And he looks the same from a good at bat to a bad at bat. We want the same player, so.
What's the best way, if a youngster is going to come to Oakton, what's the best way for them to be able to afford it? Maybe they're kids that can't afford college, either college education or baseball. What's the best way for them to, get some kind of scholarship?
Well, basically, we don't offer – Oakton's a Division III junior college, so we don't offer athletic scholarships, but we do offer academic scholarships. It's really not that expensive nowadays to go to junior college compared to a four-year school, so we're never really fighting, for kids that can't afford it. I mean, it's really an affordable way to go right now. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the past 3-4 years, more and more guys have been going to junior college because it's so affordable. So, finances has never really been an issue getting the guys there.
If I'm a parent, I think this will be interesting because I mentioned they have parents on the show. If I'm a parent or player and, I'm getting recruited by Oakton, you know how players are. Even throughout my career, everybody, I got to play Division I. Obviously not everybody can play Division I. And we also know Division I is not always going to be the best baseball level either, because I've seen Division I programs that are not as good as a junior college program. So talk about what would you say to the parent and player, why come to Oakton instead of going to a four-year school?
Well, one of the things coming to Oakton, which is important, and basically without scholarship money, this is my selling point, is when you come to Oakton, you're going to play in front of some big schools, because a lot of the big schools come to watch quality programs that win a lot of baseball games, and they know that they're going to they're going to see some players that are going to help their programs. So Oakton is on that map of schools that people come and see. So when we're selling a player to come to Oakton, we're saying, hey, you might spend a little bit of money here that you might get free elsewhere, but at the same time, your exposure level is going to be really big here at Oakton. Our track record's been phenomenal moving guys on. Pete, I can tell you this, that with the time that my assistant coaches put into these kids, I can tell you at least 60, 70% of the kids that would come through Oakton's program might not have had big scholarships out of high school. I don't know if it's just, you know, their coaches really never got their videos out to people or whatever it may be. Some kids are always overlooked. When we get them here, they develop, and a lot of the kids have landed Division I scholarships out of Oakton that they never had that offer out of high school. So when that happens, we know as a coaching staff, we're doing our job. We're making the kids better. And then the word on the street right now is when you do come to Oakton, you're going to be seen and you're going to get the exposure you might not get at other schools.
Absolutely. You know, interesting enough, as I was reading part of the bio and some of your stuff on Facebook, and you see that you've got some international players, which is my favorite part because I love international baseball. I've been in it for 30 some years. When it comes to coaches in the U.S. or even around the world that might have players that, you know, fit Oakton's system, you know, what's the best way nowadays? Because I think that's changed also, to get them to know, have you noticed their player?
You know, basically just sending an email to us, let us know that they have a kid that is looking to come to the States or wherever it may be. And then we just try to get a little more detail on the player just to make sure he's a good kid and academically he can handle it here. And then we basically see if we can get him in here where it's not costing him a lot of money to come to school, which I told you it's really not compared to the big schools. Mm-hmm. But yes, the success definitely changed here. I mean, winning a national title was, you know, we brought in guys from Venezuela and Guatemala and so forth, Dominican.
And impact.
We've had some success.
Yeah.
I would say out of 35 guys or 33 on a roster, we might add seven Latin players or whatever it may be. And they're passionate about the game and they kind of like rub off on other players. And it was just a great thing. The chemistry seems to really take off well. So we've had success, but emails, they could just send us their names, numbers of players, maybe videos of that player. And then we'll make contact with them.
And that's not easy because you're getting notoriety, you know, around the U.S. and possibly around the world when you win a national championship. It's better coming from the coach because a lot of times, I mean, you know, a lot of people may see this. You get a lot of players sending you stuff. Is it better coming from the coach because he's recommending the player?
Well, I mean, if a player's got someone that's going to, you know, step up for them and try to get him the exposure, I mean, most of the time if they're calling a good program, they know that that player's got the ability to play at that program. So, you know, we also have to have a trust with that coach once we do make a contact with somebody. And, you know, is he sending us the right kids? Is he sending us good kids? Those are the good connections we need. So,
and I'm sure
I'm
sure you built a rapport, nationally, internationally, with a lot of coaches that help. You know, interesting enough, let's get into a little bit about Bill Frato, the coach, the person, because I want to ask you, what's the difference between Bill Frato, the off-the-field person, and Bill Frato, the on-the-field as the head coach?
Well, I consider myself a passionate person, meaning that I try to build strong relationships with my players, you know. So when I'm off the field, if I'm not on a baseball field, I'm always outside. I'm always with people. I'm always trying to have a good time, but I also build good relationships with people. And that's what I want to do with my players. I mean, I try to develop a strong passion with them that we're really close. Not just as a coach, I want to be considered someone that they can call whenever they need to. If they have an issue in baseball or not baseball, whatever, I want to have that relationship or build that foundation that, you know, hey, let me call coach. Let me see what he can do to help me, so forth. So I would just say it's bringing passion every day, you know, like I try to do in my regular job, selling for Flood Brothers or, you know, in garbage or coaching baseball. It's, you know, you just try to bring your passion every day to something you enjoy doing.
Absolutely. Let's do this, Coach. Let's take a question off of Facebook from Valerie Savannah. I like the last name, Savannah. Here's the question. Listening to this while doing my homework for my Oakton class, isn't that great? She's doing her homework, love it. With college seniors returning to their schools for the fifth year, a lot of high school recruits are decommitting from four-year schools and are looking at JUCOs. What are differences, if any, the level of play of JUCO, D1, D2, D3, and so forth?
There's really not any difference, Pete, between the JUCO D1s, 2s, or 3s. Everybody plays the same schedule. The only differences is like if you're a D1 program, JUCO program, you can offer full tuition, where D1s and 2s can do that, 3s don't. But once again, that doesn't really affect us because we've been winning so many games against the higher level JUCOs just based on, you know, recruiting kids without money, just based on us developing them and getting the exposure that they might get here that they don't at other places.
Coach, let me ask you, you know, as you develop throughout your years as a coach, and now you're the head coach, win the national championship, what do you think it takes when you have a club, it takes to build this championship team? I know it's a general question, but what are some of the characteristics, some of the things you have to work on with your team to get them to believe and to build that great culture?
Well, you know, basically the culture starts in fall ball. So when we get a team together, we start building, we start preaching to them to picture things, what it might be if we all work hard, what things might look like at the end. And this is where, you know, you talk about my friend Mike Pino. I mean, these are things I've always talked with him